In a time where journalism has become primarily based in the digital world, how have local newspapers adapted? To help us answer that question, we're joined by Aidan Molines. He's the editor at Onisoir, a student-run newspaper at the University of Sydney. Aidan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Adrian?
Very well. Thanks for joining us on The Daily. Now, tell us about Onisoir.
Yeah, I mean, Oni is a publication with a lot of character and a lot of history. It's been going for a really long time. I mean, almost 100 years now. It's been alive and kicking since the 30s. We've been reporting on things at the University of Sydney. So we're a student publication. We're the only weekly student publication and in the whole country. And I believe we've got the biggest audience of any of them. In that time, we've been reporting on things not just in the uni area, but also we've become like a bigger, broader publication, I believe, as well. It's been very fun being an editor.
Now, as you say, the newspaper itself's been going since the 30s. How's the publication sort of developed, do you think, in that, what, almost 100 years, as you say? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's really gone through peaks and troughs, I'd say, because we have the pleasure of being in this disgusting kind of like underground office with every single past edition of the newspaper.
Wow.
So when we're bored or procrastinating, we do tend to go through the old ones. It's really developed in that time as a newspaper. It looks better. We have, often more pages and more content. Student newspapers used to be a huge, used to have a much bigger audience, really, because if you were a student in, the 60s, 70s, 80s, even the 90s, I mean, you didn't have much other sources of news if you were at a uni. And so it was a position of, a lot of power, and a lot of people who are quite political used to tell me, like, the endorsement of Onisoir used to matter hugely in who got elected at uni, and it used to hold a lot more power, not just as a media institution, but culturally as well.
So in a pre sort of internet age, as you sort of say there, going the 80s looking back, how do you think it's changed since then? With the introduction of the internet and it being just in everyone's hands, everyone's pocket right now, there's probably a smartphone. How have you guys sort of adapted and made the change with that?
Well, actually, I think it's a strange effect. You'd expect to see, with the advent of the internet, a more kind of global Oni. But really what's happened is that it's actually gone the other way, in the sense that if you look at Onis before, the year 2000, or even in the early 2000s, you're seeing a lot more global issues discussed. For example, during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, I mean, there was constantly big features about, these, huge international issues. Whereas now I think we take a lot more local focus because we see the plethora of other publications that are discussing those issues, and we're looking for our niche. Whereas before, I don't think for students at the uni, I don't think we were really competing with Vice and competing with, BuzzFeed and competing with the Sydney Morning Herald, because students didn't really have access to those publications.
There's something, it's a term that I personally can't stand. One little orange fella over in the States says it a fair bit, fake news. Is it something that's affected you guys? I mean, your audience is essentially, the uni students with vastly different political ideals. Do you have people sort of going, oh, that's fake news, this, that, or, having opinions on what you guys are reporting?
Well, yeah, it's funny, actually. I was the editor of an article, because we do satire, it's a long-standing tradition. And so me and two other people had the satire section, and we had an article. I can't remember the exact title, but
it's
unlike
uni students to
take
the piss.
It was kind of like Serena Williams. She was pregnant, and she revealed that she was pregnant while she was playing a tennis tournament. So the headline was like, Serena Williams excluded from tournament by a fundamentalist minister because the fundamentalist minister like claims she's playing doubles in a singles tournament, which admittedly is hilarious. But I think the story took off because it's very absurd, but in a very 2017 kind of way, it's so absurd that, you know, you might believe it. So I think I'd say maybe, you know, maybe 40% of people on the story maybe thought this might be a real story on our Facebook post. So it got this huge amount of traction, and also people were posting the story to Twitter, to Reddit, without the context. So if you click through the story to our website, you'll see a comedy or a satire tag right above the story. Yeah. So, you know, maybe there might be some illusion, but at least you know. But they were cropping that out. Wow. So, you know, they were circulating the story as if it was a real story. And so, you know, it's something that's wild to think about, because you always hear about, you know, things can circulate and get this huge popularity. They don't have to be true. And, I mean, I really saw it happen firsthand.
Just sort of snowballed for you.
The age of actual accuracy about these things is really coming to a close.
Mm. Where do you see Onisoir going sort of in the next 20 years or so? What's the future hold for the student publication?
It's a good question. I mean, like, it's easy to say that a publication like Oni would be in decline because no one reads newspapers anymore, and students are much less locally focused and much more like globally focused. If you spend your high school years like watching YouTube and reading 5 different blogs and doing all that stuff online, like a publication like Oni is a lot less impressive. But I think Oni does have a real future in, you know, not just student journalism, but just journalism in general, because it gives a lot of people who have an immense amount of skills and talent their start. And we've started doing podcasts. We've started doing, you know, video content. I think the one thing that, you know, digital affords us is it gives us a lot of data in order to analyze what does well and what doesn't, in order to play well to our audience. I don't think that data does just benefit the Facebooks and the Googles of the world. I think it does benefit us as well.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. Well, Aidan, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for joining us on The Daily.
All right. Thanks, Adrian.